Good morning. Today's Daf Moed Katan's task. We are starting on the Mishnah on Chesam and Beis. We're starting the second Mishnah and the do's and don'ts of Chol HaMoed. So the Mishnah over here says the don'ts. Ein, no sinashim emoed. So one is not allowed to get married on Chol HaMoed. Lo besulis velo amanos velo. Sorry, before we get to the velo. And you're not allowed to marry a woman, whether or not she is a virgin or whether she's an amanah, she's a widow. Meaning it's going to be a simcha, and for reasons which the Gemara is going to articulate. So this is going to be prohibited. You cannot get married on Chol HaMoed. Velo miyavnim. Same thing is true regarding the mitzvah of Yibum as well. Yibum, of course, is also a marriage. The Shidduch is created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so you are now going to be marrying your sister-in-law via the mitzvah of Yibum. In fact, the next large mesech that we're going to do is Yivamos. We are going to get a little bit of break before we get to Yivamos. We'll do Chagiga, but then immediately thereafter, about a month from now, we're going to be starting mesech to Yivamos. So obviously, a reference to a large mesech coming up. And the reason why you can't do that is Mimnesha Simcha Hilo. So because this is a simcha, and you can't have simcha on Chol HaMoed. Now, that was a silly sentence. In fact, the entirety of Chol HaMoed is that you're supposed to be mesamech on Chol HaMoed. But over here, probably what the issue is, when I say probably, it's because I know the Gemara upcoming. But probably over here, this is an additional simcha or a foreign simcha, which you're not allowed to mix in together with the simcha of Chol HaMoed. Okay, and when we get to the Gemara is going to be giving us such a svar. The Gemara is going to give a couple of other svaras as well. Anyway, bottom line, you can't get married on Yontif. And when I say Yontif, obviously I'm talking about the entirety, including Chol HaMoed as well. Ava machzir is grushaso. However, if it's machzir grushaso, if you're going to take back a woman who you divorced, which is a mitzvah. Now, just to clarify, if she marries somebody else, so then it's going to be an isser, and an isser gamor, right? It's a law in the Torah to take back a woman who you were married to, who in the interim was married and even divorced to somebody else. For you to take her back, that's an isser. But Mastam, if it's a woman that you divorced and now the two of you decided they're going to try it again, so that's Machzir Grushaso. So that you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. Rashi writes over here simply, Einu Simcha Kokach. It's not that big a simcha, right? Which, right, perfectly understandable. V'ose Isha Tachshiteha B'moed. Now, what can a woman do in terms of her personal upkeep and makeup? So the Tanakhama, the Mishnah says, that she can put on makeup on Chol HaMoed. And Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lo Tasub Nim Neshe Nivu Hula. So Rabbi Yehuda says this application, there's certain application that's done. So the Sid, so she cannot do that. Mim Neshe Nivu Hula. Because right now, currently, as she applies it, it's going to be menavel her. Now, what exactly that means? So well, let's wait a little bit. The Gemara is going to discuss it in more detail. Hahejo Tofer Kedarkova Uman Machliv. So in terms of stitching, so if you're a hedjot, if you're not professional, so then you can stitch like you normally do, because anyway, your actions are not a maise uman. It's not professional. You're not professional. However, ha uman, but if you are a professional, so machliv. So what you have to do is you have to stitch in an unusual way. Umistarginas amitos. Now, in terms of weaving the bed, so you're allowed to do that in Chol HaMoed. Right back in the day, their beds were basically four posts, and what they would do is that they would take a thick rope and weave it in between them, and then put something on top of it. You could lie down on top. So those are the beds of the good old days. So we should be thankful for what we have nowadays. So, and Rabbi Yossi Omer Memachtin, or Memachtin, sorry. And Rabbi Yossi is of the position that as far as what we should do to the beds, so we should do another process, another procedure. The Gemara is going to be a little bit more detailed in terms of exactly what that means. Okay, our first focus today is going to be on the first psak of the Mishnah, and that is that the Mishnah says in unequivocal terms that you're not allowed to have a chast on Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara says, okay, so you're going to have a, let's imagine for a moment you're going to have a chasna on Chol HaMoed, and it's going to be a simcha. And it sounds great. Like, it's such a great idea. And the Gemara's question is very simple. So what? So what now? You're having more simcha on Chol HaMoed. Isn't that good? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, V'chein Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Yoshia, V'yamri La Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina. Okay, a lot of attribution. Simcha. So what you're not allowed to do is you're not allowed to mix one simcha together with another simcha. So in other words, what the Gemara is saying is that you are adulterating. You're putting together different simchas. And what's the problem with that? Rashi writes, Ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. You can see the Rashi on the side, right alongside where we are in the Gemara. Klamar, be'ina delismach b'simchas moed lichudei. We have to be exclusively on the simcha of Chol HaMoed. And so therefore we cannot be diverted and moving our attention to a different simcha. Tosos sounds almost identical to that of Rashi. See the Tosos? Lefi Shei Marvin Simcha B'Simcha, Gzer Sakasov. Kedidash L'Kaman Mikra D'Shlamo. So we're going to see, we're going to be spending a good amount of today trying to find a source for this halacha of Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. Meanwhile, and Tosfos says, and we're gonna see a drasha later on. Shlomo HaMelech, the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, or the completion of the Beis HaMikdash, stay tuned. That's coming up. But Uvi Yerushalmi Darish Midechsev Malei Shavua Zos. Tosfos over here quotes the Yerushalmi, and the Yerushalmi says it's based on Yaakov with Leah and Rachel. After having married Leah, he wasn't really interested in marrying Leah, but okay, he did. Okay, there's a story behind the story. I'm sure everyone here knows it. Anyway, so then after that, so he said, okay, now that I married Leah, okay, at least let me marry Rachel. And so his father-in-law said, well, let's first have a week of Sheva Brachos, meaning you can't mingle another Simcha together with the Simcha. Right now you're in the Simcha of your marriage with Leah. Okay, so wait a week, right? And they did. And then he married Rachel. And then he worked for another 7 years. Anyway, what comes out from all this is that is, according to the Yerushalmi, that's the source of the halacha, Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. That you can't go ahead and intermingle simchas together.
Even though that week was 7 years.
No. It was a week. It was a week. Right. It's a misconception. Meaning he married Rachel and Leah within the span of a week. Or not within, but immediately one week after. In other words, for Leah, he worked then married. For Rachel, he married then worked. And I guess, in other words, in my mind, I'm thinking that what Lavan did is that Lavan did trick him, so he spotted him 7 years. In other words, right? He extended the credit. And okay, I find it to be fascinating. Meaning, you're right. The Yerushalmi citing this as the source of Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. It's unbelievably interesting. V'tam Nira Kitzas. But then Tosfos, and this is the excitement of Tosfos. Tosfos says good. So either it's a drasha based on Shlomo HaMelech or it's a drasha based on Lavan. So, but then he says, but if I can, I'm going to give a reason, and he can. So he says it's an issue of focus. You know, the Gemara in Pesachim, which over here he's making reference to, it's also Gemara in Brachos as well, of Ein Osim Mitzvos Chavilos. You can't bundle mitzvos together. So in other words, what we have to do is that we have to separate the mitzvos and keep each mitzvah independent one of the other. Now, why? Now, it's funny because the Gemara never really spells it out. Tosfos over here assumes that the reason why is because of focus. In other words, you have to have kavanah when doing a mitzvah. So if I go ahead and try to multitask, so multitasking is highly overrated. I know people say they multitask, but what you're basically doing is that you could quickly divert your attention from one thing to another thing. So over here, so the problem with taking mitzvahs and consolidating and putting them together is that you're not going to give any in each of the mitzvahs its proper kavanah that it requires. So that's what Tosfos writes over here. V'lo yifne atzmo heimenu. So in other words, if you have to focus on a simcha, you need to focus on that particular simcha. If I go ahead and get married in the middle of Chol HaMoed, so now my attention is going to be diverted, and I'm not giving any one of those items the proper attention that it deserves. Okay, so focus, concentration, the ability to look at just one thing and one thing only. Okay, that Tosfos is talking about it. That's the svara that Tosfos gives in terms of Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. We go back to the Gemara. So the question on the table is, why can I not get married on Chol HaMoed? What's the big deal? All it is just extra simcha. So as far as number one of the Gemara is, Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. Rava b'Ravuna Amar Min Meshe Meniach Simcha Saragav Oseg B'Simcha Sishto. You're going to forsake the simcha of Yantiv, and you're going to be just involved in Simcha Sishto. Now, it does sound to me to be awfully similar to the first. The Gemara presents it as if it is a second reason, but it does sound very similar. Really, this goes all the way back to Rav, the Amar Rav, Daniel Bar Ketina Amar Rav, Minayin Shein Osin Noshim Emoin. How do I know that you're not allowed to marry a woman on Chol HaMoed? Shenemar V'Samachta B'Chagecha. The Pasuk says that you have to be Misameach on Chag, or for the Chag. B'Chagecha V'lo B'Ishtecha. Meaning, and it has to be exclusively for the Chag and not for your wife. Okay, again, I'm not really sure what the difference is between one and two. It sounds really similar. Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha, and the drasha that we just gave seems to be that you have to be focused on one simcha and not on another simcha. And once you add another simcha, so then your attention is going to be divided, and a divided attention is no good. It really sounds like one and the same. And then I'm further confused. I'm not going to give away all my thoughts, but right. But I'm further confused by the fact that later the Gemara is going to want to know, how do I know Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha? The Gemara is going to bring a drasha based on Shlomo HaMelech and the completion of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara has a drasha right over here. Why is the Gemara later on looking for a drasha? Okay. I'm not perfectly clear on on how to look at answers 1 and 2 as together, as separate. Okay, anyway. Sorry, that was a lot of confusion. I'm usually interested in giving clarity.
Simple, it means any kind. It doesn't have to be just marriage. It could be
others. Okay, but the drush over here, I don't want to belabor this point. The drush over here, v'samachta b'chagecha, meaning period. And the example the Gemara gives is b'chagecha v'lo b'ishtecha. But it's seemingly, it's just an example, meaning it also would include any other simcha as well. All right, anyway.
Why would people want to get married?
Because you're... The simplest reason and probably the correct reason is because you're making food anyway. Yeah, you get to save. Yeah. Ula amar mimnei atareach. So Ula says no, because it's a tircha. Meaning a simcha is wonderful, it's beautiful, it's fantastic. It's also a lot of work. It's a lot of work. And as we've discussed already numerous times in this masechta, so what we want to do is that we want to minimize. In other words, if it's tircha yisera, if it's too much tircha, even though there are good reasons why you want to do it, but still... The Chachamim said no. Here, okay, yeah, please. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafchamer Mimnei Bittel Pirav Virivya. So the issue is, this is now going to be a third explanation or a fourth explanation. Let's call it a fourth explanation. So Bittel Pirav Virivya. So it has to do with the fact that what's going to happen now is that you're going to say in your mind, look, well, let's get married now. Oh, you know what? We do have a Yontif coming up. Granted, 4 months from now. But we do have a Yontif. There's always the Yontif coming up. So granted, it's 4 months from now. But you know what? Rather than get married now, let's get married 4 months from now. Let's get married on Chol HaMoed. It's so much easier, right? We're going to be making food anyway. We'll get married on Chol HaMoed. So now for those 4 months, so there's going to be a bittul period virivya. Meaning, effectively, they'd like to get married now, but once they have the opportunity to postpone it to Chol HaMoed, they're going to want to, and that's going to be a postponement of the mitzvah, piruvu. Okay. So what we have in front of us right now are 3/4 different reasons why it is that you're not allowed to get married. On Chol HaMoed, Meisvei, the Gemara challenges, Kol Shamru, Asurim Lisa B'Moed, Mutam Lisa Erev Arego. Okay, so, we have a Brisa, and the Brisa says that despite the fact that there's an Isser Gamur, either it's a Drasha or it's a Din D'Rabbanan, however you want to say it, but there's an Isser Gamur to get married on Chol HaMoed, but you're allowed to get married on Erev Yantiv. Okay, now, you're allowed to get married on Erev Yantiv? So the Gemara says, what? What? Kasha Lakulu. So the Gemara says, now, isn't that difficult for everything we just said? So the Gemara says, no, it's not. So lo kasha leman damer mishum simcha ikar simcha chad yumo. So the Gemara says now, because it's not going to share your simchas yantav. Meaning, yes, it's true. If you get married on erev yantav, so you're going to have shever brachas, and it's true. Your shever brachas are going to go into Chol HaMoed. Oh, that's true. But it's not ma'arv in simcha b'simcha, because when we're looking at marriage, we have to look at what is the ikar simcha. The ikar simcha, of course, is day one. That's the ikar simcha. Everything after that is, of course, a simcha. Shever brachas, of course, is a simcha, but nothing in comparison to day number one. As long as the first day of the marriage, the actual chasta itself is not on Chol HaMoed, so then that's fine. Even though the sheva brachos are going into Chol HaMoed. Okay, that's number one. Laman damim mishum tircha ikar tircha chad yumahu. And as far as tircha is concerned, yeah, the sheva brachos are, you know, it certainly work, but nothing like the day of the actual chasta itself. So in other words, you're not really being torech, even though the sheva brachos are going into Chol HaMoed, but that's not a real tircha. That's number two. And number three, Laman Dar Mishum Bitul Pira Virivya Lechad Yuma La Mishe Inish Nafshe. And what's the third concern? Bitul Piruvu. We're just going to delay and postpone. No one is going to be delaying a chasna to get married on Erev Yantiv. Erev Yantiv, the way Rashi describes it over here, Erev Yantiv is a really busy day. And we're really going to be comfortable and assured that we're going to get married on Erev Yantiv. Look, if it's a choice of getting married now or 4 months from now on Erev Yantiv, let's get married now, right? On Chol HaMoed, that is, we're off anyway. We're making food anyway. So we're going to want to push off a chasna for getting married on Chol HaMoed. But to push off a chasna just to get married on Erev Yantiv, no one's going to really be motivated to do so. Okay. Ad Kan, that takes us now not to the end of the discussion, but now we can pause. As the Mishnah told us you can't get married on Chol HaMoed, the Gemara gave us 3 or 4 different reasons why. One is not allowed to get married in Chol HaMoed. The first one is Ein Ma'arv in Simcha B'Simcha. You cannot take 2 simchas and mix them together. The Gemara wants to know, where do I know this from? Ude Ein Ma'arv in Simcha B'Simcha min nalan. So how do I know that this is a halacha? So dichsiv. So the Gemara turns to the following, and this is now the completion of Bayis Rishon. First Beis Hamikdash, obviously, built by Shlomo HaMelech. Its completion is described in the 8th Perek. And so with its completion comes a Chanukas Beis HaMikdash. Now, how long an affair was it? So it was a week plus a week, right? Some people would call that 2 weeks. But you'll see why I describe it that way. A week plus a week. So what it comes out over here, I forgot who told me this. It's a great observation. For the Mishkan, so for the inauguration, the Mishkan, it was 1 week. For the first Beis HaMikdash, it was 2 weeks. It was a week plus a week. And then for the third Beis HaMikdash, I don't remember the Psukim, where the Psukim were, but it was 3 weeks. Okay. Every new iteration of the Beis HaMikdash, another week is added in terms of the Simcha. Anyway, so for the first Beis HaMikdash, it was a week plus a week. So minalan dechsi vayashlam habeis ahiyas hachag v'chol Yisrael imo kag adom milavo chemas ad nachal Mitzrayim lifnei Hashem lakenu shivas yamim v'shivas yamim arbas ayom. So how long was the celebration for the Binyan Beis HaMikdash? Everybody was invited. It was a week plus another week. Right. That's a good way to do it. 2 weeks. Now, v'im isa demarvin simcha b'simcha. Now, week number two, I'll give it away just so that we can all understand the Gemara a lot better. Week number two is Sukkos, meaning the second week is Sukkos. So the second week is not really so much a Simcha of the Beis HaMikdash. It's called Yontif of Sukkos. But the week immediately prior to Sukkos was the 7 days of celebration for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, hopefully you're wondering and you're thinking to yourself right now, wait 1 second. If we're talking about the week immediately prior to Sukkos, you know what's in that week? It's called Yom Kippur. What do they do on the Yom Kippur, on which it's a fast day and they're celebrating for the building Beis HaMikdash? Hold that thought. We're coming right back to it. So the Gemara says, V'imisa d'marvin simcha b'simcha, ibaye elei lemint ardachag, ume'avit shivalach ulacha. So the Gemara says, well, look, if you were allowed to be marv simcha b'simcha, so the Gemara says, I got a great idea. And that is, well, they celebrated the week prior to Sukkot because that's when they completed. But a completion of a project is not a date on the calendar, meaning what you can do, and contractors love doing this, and that is delay and push off. And they could have done that with the Beis HaMikdash. They could have finished not the week prior to Sukkot, but they could have finished on Sukkot itself. And in doing so now, so they can overlap the week of the festivities of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash and that of Sukkot. Why not just simply overlap the two, one to another? So the Gemara says, V'dilma minter lo natrinan, v'echidis rame avdinan. So the Gemara says, well, that's not a proof. Meaning over there, that just simply was the Metzias. The Metzias was, they finished a week before. But had they finished on the actual Erev Yontov, maybe their celebration would have coincided with Yontov. Isn't that possible? So the Gemara says, Ibai le l'shuri porta. So the Gemara says, well, no. In other words, if in fact, they could have waited off a week, they should have waited off a week. Meaning, if they could have taken the celebration of Beis HaMikdash, Binyan Beis HaMikdash, the completion, and they could have overlapped it together with Sukkah. So what they should have done is leave something off, right? We do this all the time when it comes to Siyumim, right? We're about to miss Siyum and Masechta. Yeah, but I don't want to make a Siyum today. I want to make it a week from now. Okay. So we'll leave off the last line. So we do this all the time, right? Whether it's right, not right, right? You'll ask your rabbi. But the Gemara is now asking, why not with the Beis HaMikdash? In other words, if you're allowed to overlap, what they could have done and should have done is just leave a little bit off the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, Shiuri Binyan Beis HaMikdash, Lo Mishayin Inen. Gemara says, no, you can't do that. Meaning it's a project, it's a job, it needs completion, you complete it whenever you can complete it. So the Gemara says, Ibai Le Lishuri Ba'amakalya Orev. The Gemara says, what about the scarecrow on the top of the Beis HaMikdash? Now, I'm calling it a scarecrow. It's probably not a scarecrow, although there is one Mefarish over there in Midos that says it's a scarecrow. Anyway, but what it is basically spikes on the top of the Beis HaMikdash so that birds do not land on the top of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, Amakaya Orv Tzarech Binyan HaBaisu. The Gemara says, that's not an accessory. That's actually part of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So again, you finish the Binyan Beis HaMikdash at your first opportunity. That's what they did. So at this point in time, we don't really have a great source that tells us that you're not allowed to be Ma'arv Simcha B'Simcha. Meaning the Gemara right now is arguing that they finished the project, and it happens to be that they finished the project a week earlier. And that's why the celebration started a week before Sukkos. But maybe, and Achanami, if the project would have been finished on Erev Sukkos itself, maybe the celebration could have been together with Sukkos. We asked the question, how do I know Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha? We thought this Shlomo HaMelech incident would be the source. The Gemara is not in love with it. So Ela Medimiyasakra. So the Gemara says, okay. So now, from a Svara standpoint, we don't have a good source. But what about the actual Psukim themselves? Let's take a look at the actual Psukim. So, Michtik, Siv, Arbas, Ayom. So it says that they celebrated for 14 days. Good. And then it says Shivas Yamim v'Shivas Yamim. And then it says 7 and 7. So Lamali. Well, once I know it's 14, so I know 14 is a composite of 7 and 7. That's, I think we all know. So Shema Mina Hanilachud v'Hanilachud. So what the Pasuk is driving at is that they have to be separated. Meaning the reason why the Torah, the Navi, goes and it describes that's 14 days and then describes that 7 and 7 is because by definition, those 7 days have to be separated one from the other. Why? Because 7 days are Sukkos and 7 days are celebration of Binyan Beis HaMikdash and Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. Okay, so instead of having the Svara come from the Limud coming from the Svara, so the Limud comes from the actual text itself. It's a drasha in the words themselves in the Psukim. Okay. So what we just come to learn together now is that for the completion of the building of the Beis HaMikdash, its completion occurred a week before Sukkot. Then they celebrated its completion with a week of festivity, followed then by a week of festivity, otherwise known as Sukkot. Okay. So now, as the Gemara is about to address, it leaves us now with the following open-ended question. Yom Kippur that year? What did they do for Yom Kippur? Now, I'll tell you what they did, because the Gemara is going to say it really clearly. And that is, they didn't observe Yom Kippur. Now, of the things that you're going to be hearing, right, especially in this Masechta, this probably is going to be the most shocking thing you're going to hear, that they just simply ignored Yom Kippur, they ate on Yom Kippur. Okay, that's what happened. And so now the Gemara is going to be discussing this very point. Amar of Panach, Amar, Rabbi Yochanan, also Shana Lo, also Yisraas Yom Kippurim. So that year, they didn't observe Yom Kippur. Okay, I'm saying it a little too casually, meaning, obviously, it's a really big deal. But how many times in history do we complete the Beis HaMikdash? Well, if you want to count the Mishkan, so maybe 3 times. But and then you want to include Herod's or whatever. It happens really infrequently. But still, in other words, Yom Kippur is a really big deal. So the Lo Asa Yisrael Yom Kippur and Vayu Doagim VaOmrim. And what they would do is that they would be doeg. They would be concerned. Throw my backpack off. Okay. Oso Shana Lo Asa Yisrael Yom Kippur and Vayu Doagim VaOmrim. And they would be concerned. And they would say Shema Nischai V'Sonem Sheyisrael Klaya, and so look, they had the guilt, meaning they thought that what they were doing was right, and the justification is going to be coming up in just a moment. But meanwhile, they had the guilt, totally understandable, meaning it's Yom Kippur. So and they just ignored Yom Kippur. They ended Yom Kippur. So Yatsa Basko V'Amar Lahem Kulchem Zuman L'Chayel Am Hababa. So the outcomes, the Basko and the Basko says he did good. Now over here. Explanation. Why did they do good? So my drush. So what exactly was the drusha? Amru kavachomer. Uma mishkan she'in kedushas kedushas olam. So let's start with the mishkan. Obviously, in the second year in the midbar. So the kedusha of the mishkan is in kedusha kedushas olam. It's not permanent. The karban yachidoch shabbos. De'esur skila. And over there, they brought a karban yachid. What is he making reference to? He's making reference to the karban of the Nesi'im. So we know that upon the completion of the Mishkan, so for the next 12 days, which obviously is going to include a Shabbos, for the next 12 days, they went ahead and they offered karbanos. Now it's a karban yachid. It's a nasi. And they did so, and that overrid Shabbos. Now Shabbos is an Isser Skila. So now follow the thought process. So a karban yachid is going to be overriding Shabbos, which is an Isser Skila. So Mikdash Dikdusha Kedusha Solam. So as far as the Beis HaMikdash is concerned, that's a permanent structure. Now in hindsight, we know it's not a permanent structure. We know it was destroyed. But nevertheless, at the time of building, it was viewed as a permanent structure where this is it. This is going to be the permanent resting place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Shekhinah. So the carbon seabor of Yom Kippur Danish Kares. And now we're talking about carbon seabor. Now over here, not perfectly clear what the Gemara means when it says carbon seabor. Meaning, as far as the Chanukah Sabbaths are concerned, so they are offering the carbon seabors, but the question wasn't so much on the carbonus, it was more on them eating on Yom Kippur, but okay, the Gemara feels that the two are connected one with another, and we're talking only about Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is less than Shabbos. Now, not much less than Shabbos, but still, it's less. Danish Kares. The punishment for Yom Kippur is Kares. Shabbos is Skila. Now, Shabbos also is Kares, but with Hasra, with Edom and Hasra, so it could result in a capital punishment. For Yom Kippur, it does not. For Yom Kippur, it stops at Kares. It doesn't go beyond Kares. There is no capital punishment for the violation of Yom Kippur. So, if the Nesim were able to go ahead and violate Shabbos with a carbon yachid, so for sure we can go ahead and override Yom Kippur with a carbon sibur. That's the thought process. Otherwise known as the Kal V'Chomer. Okay, it's the Chanukah Samishkan and Chanukah Beis Hamikdash. Okay, they thought it was comparable. So lo kol shekein ela amayu doagim. So the Gemara says, okay, now that explains the Kal V'Chomer. The Gemara says, lovely Kal V'Chomer. Why were they worried? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why they were worried. Hasam Sarach Gavah, Hasam Sarach Ejon. They were worried because the Nesim were offering karbanos, meaning they were going to go on the Mizbech and going directly to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Over here, we're talking about eating and drinking and being joyful on Yom Kippur, meaning that's Sarach Ejon. Okay, so obviously the argument is the same, but then what comes out from the argument that we're going to eat on Yom Kippur, they were worried. So Hachinami Me'avi Le'avi Mechalo Nechlu. So the Gemara says, okay, how about this? How about have the joy, have the simcha, have the Chanukah space of Mikdash, but without the food? So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, lo nichlo v'lo nishtu, ain't simcha, la ba'achila v'shtiyah. We all know. In other words, you're going to make a simcha and there's not going to be food? Imagine making a chasna. Where's the food? We decided to cut costs today. No food. Okay, it's not a simcha. Okay, and we say it, it's a rhetorical, it's not, in of itself, it's not an argument, but the Gemara assumes that that's absolutely correct. Ain't simcha. There's just simply no simcha without achila v'shtiyah. Yeah.
If the two are comparable, the Mishkan and the Hamikdash, why didn't they do the inauguration in Nisan instead of Sukkot?
Because that's when they complete. I mean, it's not a great answer, but that's when they complete it. They happen to complete it a week prior to Sukkot. Upon completion, they started celebrating. I understand it's not a great answer, but that's the Metzias. Could be. I'd only be guessing. I don't know. Okay. Mishkan d'dachi Shabbos minalan. Now, the fact that the Mishkan is overriding Shabbos, meaning we're assuming in this argument that the Nesim offer the Karbanos on Shabbos. The Gemara now just wants to back up and establish. Are we sure about that? So, ilem emidachsi b'yam rishon b'yam hashvi. Because look, follow the Nesim. It says on day one. It says on day two. It says on day seven. And as I pointed out, regardless whenever they started, if you're going a week, and they went more than a week, in other words, there were 12 Nisim, they went 12 days. But if you're going a week, for sure one of those days is on a Shabbos. So Gemara says, okay, but Dilma Shvi LeKarbanos. That in of itself is not enough proof. It could very well be, seven just simply means it's a seventh Karban. But it could be that they just skipped a day. Meaning, couldn't we make the argument that, okay, for Shabbos we're going to skip because it is Shabbos, and then number seven mentioned in the Torah just simply means the seventh Karban. Which will be not the seventh consecutive day, it'll be the eighth day. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Yitzchak Amar Krab, B'yom Ashtei Asar, Yom, Ma Yom Kula Ratzufa, Af Ashtei Asar Kula Ratzufim. So the Gemara says, no, because it says the words Yom, and Yom obviously are Ratzufim, they're contiguous, they're consecutive, so too, every one of the days in the Sim are going to be consecutive. V'dilma Yomim Haru'uyim Ksiv, the Gemara says, again, I don't know, maybe it's Yomim Haru'uyim. Meaning, it's not consecutive days, it's days in which you could bring karbanos. Maybe it's with the exception of Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Ksiv Krachrina. B'yom Shemasar, Yom. Now let's take a look at day number 12, where once again the Torah repeats itself and it says, on the 12th day, my Yom Kula Ratzafav Shemasar, Yom Kula Ratzufim. And I know the Gemara just tried this out, but it said on day 11, it said on day 12, the fact that the Torah keeps repeating, now by the way, the Torah repeats every day to be the same, except with a notable exception of which Nasi is going to be bringing, but still, the fact that it keeps repeating it again and again, yom, 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 so it's there to tell me that's 12 consecutive days. One of those days has to be Shabbos, could be two of those days were Shabbos. The Gemara one last time tries to argue, well, maybe it's just days that you can bring a karban with the exclusion of Shabbos. The Gemara says no, because trei kri lamali. The fact that we have two psukim that are speaking to this idea, it's excessive, it's there to teach us a point, i.e. consecutive days. Okay. U'mikdash edochi Yom Kippur minalan. Now, as far as the base of Mikdash and the celebration of Shlomo HaMelech, and that's overriding Yom Kippur, how do I know? Meaning, once again, can't we make the argument that they did celebrate 7 days, and those 7 days were before Sukkot? But can't we make an argument that it's Yomim Haru'uyim, meaning 7 days to the exclusion of Yom Kippur? Can we say that? Well, the pasuk does say 14 days, but the Gemara says, okay, but again, 14 days can mean only those days which we're allowed to celebrate. Maybe Yom Kippur was excluded. So, Gemara, Yom Yomi Hasam. So the Gemara says, okay, we have a Gemara, we have a Limud. Meaning once we've already established and we've done that the Nisim were 12 consecutive days, so too we're going to assume that the 14 days of celebration of Shlomo HaMelech were consecutive days. And we know the second of those days are Sukkos. So with the days, the seven first days are the 7 days prior to Sukkos, which obviously, and they're consecutive, therefore it includes Yom Kippur. Okay.
What would Shabbat, like?
Shabbat. In other words, observe Shabbat, they ate and they drank. That doesn't violate the Shabbos. Eating and drinking over as Yom Kippur. Okay. Yatza basko ve'amr lehem kulchem mezumanu lechai elam haba. So the Basco comes out. In other words, this is the end of the episode where they were worried. They had anxiety. And the Basco comes out and says, everyone gets a check plus. Everyone's going to be receiving Olam Haba. There was no violation of Yom Kippur this particular year. How do I know that they got a mechila? Ditni tachlifa. Based on the following. B'yam ha-shvini shalach esam ve'ervachu esam melech. Ve'yelchu le'o aleichem smechem v'tuvelev al kol ha-tova asher asar Hashem le'david avdo li'sol amo. So here we are now. This hopefully should sound familiar. What are we hearing? We're hearing the Haftarah of Shmini Atzeres, meaning on Shmini Atzeres. So this is what we're going to be selecting from for the Haftarah. It makes sense, meaning now we know, based on today's daf, that historically this event occurred on Shmini Atzeres, where Shlomo HaMelech is giving a bracha to the people. So too, now, we're going to see from the actual bracha itself that they received a mechila. They were forgiven. How do I know that? Because it says the following, Le'o HaLechem. So they went back to their tents, meaning that they found their wives to be in a state of tahara, that they could be with their wives, meaning upon the return to home. And smechem shenenu meziv ha-shechina, and smechem in that they got to enjoy the actual presence of the shechina. And v'tu v'lev shekol echa v'echa nit'abu ishta b'ben zachar. And not only that, but their wives were pregnant with a male son. And al kol tova shiatza basko v'amr lem kuchem zuman l'chayel ma'ba. And al kol hatova, that's the basko saying that they're all going to receive olam haba. L'david avdo l'Yisrael amo. So, b'shlam l'Yisrael amo d'acholahu avon yom ha-kippurim. Now, which avon are they going to be forgiven for? For the Jewish people, we know what avon, exactly what avon they need to be forgiven for, and that is the avon of eating on Yom Kippur. But elo David avdo ma'hi, what about David avdo? So, amr av yudam rav b'shasha b'kish lama l'hachnis aron l'mikdash. So, upon the point where Shlomo HaMelech was taking the Aron into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so Davka Sharm Zelazeh, so the gates of the Beis HaMikdash locked, closed. Amr Shlomo Esim V'Arba Rananos V'Lo Nana. So Shlomo HaMelech said 24 Rananos. Meaning, if you go through the Pesukim, Rashi notes, you're going to find 24 times it says the words Rina, Tchina, Tfila, Bakasha, Pasach V'Amr Suv Sharm Reshechem. And he's begging and beseeching that the gates open up, and the pasuk in Tehillim Perichav Dalad, v'lo ne'ene, he was not answered. Kevin Shamar Hashem Elokim, alta shepenei mishechecha zirch lechastei David avdecha, and then he invokes the memory of his father David HaMelech. So miyad ne'ene ba'osar shah, I'm sorry, miyad ne'ene. So he was answered and the gates opened up. So you see that David HaMelech was forgiven. Ba'osar shah nefchu penei sonei David kishulei kedeira. And then the comment section, the people who were commenting on David HaMelech, and the comments were not nice. In other words, they were very critical of David HaMelech over his behavior, obviously with Bathsheba. Okay. So, and now, so their faces look like Shula Kedera. It's an expression the Gemara uses all the time. It basically means that they were proven wrong. Meaning David HaMelech was in fact forgiven over that particular event. He was forgiven for that particular sin. Okay. Adkan. That takes us to the end of that section of the Gemara. So a lengthy discussion in the Gemara in terms of where's the source of Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. And the Gemara just went through a really extended discussion in terms of how do we know it from. And we derived it based on the Pesukim of Shlomo HaMelech and the Chanukah Beis HaMikdash, the actual celebration of the inauguration of the first Beis HaMikdash. And in the course of discussion, we also went over the fact that they ate on that particular Yom Kippur, which is shocking, but that's what they did. They thought that they were justified in doing so. They made a Kavachomer argument. They were worried that their Kavachomer argument was still not perfect. In other words, it is a logical argument. With any logical argument, there's a counter logic and there's a counter argument. They knew that. They were actually thinking of the counter argument as well. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Baskel gave them a Yeshar Koach on their particular actions. Okay, good. Let's continue, obviously, in the Gemara. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. Rabbi Yonasan ben Amsai of Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim Tanu Parshas Nedarim. Bei Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Okay, so a couple of them of Tanayim were learning in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and where they were learning Masechta Nedarim. Okay, why were we given that particular detail? Not clear in this particular story. Anyway, Ifter Mineborta. Okay, now the Zman was over and they were going home. And so, fine. And so they said goodbye to the Rebbe, Rebbe Shimon bar Yochai. Now, let's stop for now. It happens to be that they didn't leave that night. They stayed overnight. So the next morning, what do? So how did it come Ifter Amine? So they went back to Rebbe Shimon bar Yochai and said, look, I know you don't like long goodbyes, and I know we said goodbye yesterday, but look, we're here this morning. We're going to come back and we're going to say goodbye one more time. So Amalu v'lav Ifterus Amine Be'orta. So Rebbe Shimon bar Yochai said, no, you did that last night. Right, I need to see you again. So Amru Le Lemetin Rabbeinu Tamish and Iftar Mirabba Veloba Os Velanba Oso Ayir Sarach Liftar Ami Menu Pamacheres. So this is a halacha. In fact, you taught us this halacha, which makes me wonder. By the way, maybe he was just testing them. Meaning, but anyway, he was familiar with this halacha. Shenem Rabbi Yamashmini Shalachas Ami Yevarchus Amelach. He sent the nation. They blessed the king. Uksiva V'Yam Esrim V'Shosh LeChodesh Hashvi Shalachas Am. In fact, once again, we're going to now turn back our attention to Shlomo HaMelech, where we know that he gave a bracha to the people on Shmini Atzeres. That's the 22nd day of Tishrei. Then what he does is on the 23rd day of Tishrei, this is what we're hearing now in Divrei Yamim, is that Nachamol, he's saying goodbye to everybody. So what just happened over there? So he said goodbye to everyone on the 22nd and on the 23rd. So Elam, Mikal, Tamina, Nifta, Mirabba, Valamba, Osoir, Sarach Liftar Mimena Pamacheres. Oh, so that's the halacha. Halacha is that, yeah, he said goodbye to everyone on Shmini Atzeres, but many of them stayed overnight in Yerushalayim. So the next day, so they were saying goodbye to the Rebbe. The Rebbe in this particular case happens to be the king, Shlomo HaMelech. Okay, so, Amr Le Lebrei, B'nei Adam Halalu Anashim Shol Tzurahim. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai now says to his son, I'm assuming it's Rebbe Lazar, that's the only one I know. Could be there. Just it could be another. Anyway, so he says, "Look, these two men over here, they are nashim shel tzura, literally a form, but it means," says Rashi, "that they're major talmidei chachamim, and so therefore zilga bayon deliver chacham. So what you're going to do is you're going to go over to them and you're going to get a bracha from them. That's what the Rashbi instructed his son to do. So azo ashkechino dekaramu kraya adade. So he found them and they were going over psukim. In this case, psukim and mishle." So one pasuk says that what you should do is that you should weigh one mitzvah against another mitzvah. Okay, my translation over here is not literal, but it's for the purposes of this discussion, it's perfect. So you got to weigh one mitzvah against another mitzvah, and what you got to do is that that you have to do the larger mitzvah. In other words, consider which is a bigger mitzvah, which is a smaller mitzvah, and do the larger mitzvah. I know the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says don't try to figure out the superiority of one mitzvah over another mitzvah. Okay, but there are times when it's clear one mitzvah is bigger than the other mitzvah, and one pasuk of Mishlei would indicate that go with the larger mitzvah. And then uksiv, but then I have another pasuk in the very next parak of Mishlei, arech chayim pen tifaleis, like don't do it, don't weigh one mitzvah against another mitzvah. Well, which one is right? So lo kasha kamim mitzvah sheaf shalas osay aydei acherim. And come a mitzvah she'i avshar la'asoso ayidei acherim. And the answer actually is, it's just simply a function of which one can be done through others. If a mitzvah can be done through others, so then you now have the luxury of choosing the larger mitzvah, just to go big, right? Go with the larger mitzvah. If, on the other hand, the other mitzvah cannot be done by somebody else, and that mitzvah opportunity comes to you, so you have to do it, even though it's quote-unquote the smaller mitzvah, but it came to you first, so take care of the smaller mitzvah. Okay, so that's the yishuv between the two psukim. Ha do yasvei v'kami b'ilahu. And then, as long as they were still in learning, and they were also learning, obviously they were going through Mishlei, another, what seems to be, contradiction. ksiv yikara hi mipnim evcho chafatzecha lo yashvu ba. Ha chav teshamayim yashvu ba. So on one hand, what you should do is that you should be learning Torah under all circumstances. Uksiv kol chafatzim lo yashvu ba. So, sorry, the first pasuk in Mishlei would indicate that you should stop learning Torah in order to do a mitzvah. The second pasuk would indicate, kol chafatzechem lo yashvu ba. No, you should not stop learning for anything. So which one is it? So the Gemara says, afilu chafatzechem lo yashvu ba. Sorry, that's the conclusion, that you shouldn't even stop your learning of Torah. So, kam b'mitzvah she'efshal asosay adeachem, kam b'mitzvah she'efshal asosay adeachem. So once again, the yeshiv is going to be as follows. It depends whether or not it could be done by others. If it could be done by others, so then drop and don't stop your learning. The mitzvah could be done by somebody else. But if the mitzvah cannot be done by others, then you need to do the mitzvah. So you stop learning in order to do the mitzvah. Amrulay my baisacha. Good. So the son of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai came for the bracha, but he got to hear the back and forth between these gedolim. Now, after they finish their discussion, back and forth, so now they look at him, right, the son of the Rashbi, and they say, "What do you want? What are you doing here?" So, my baizacha. So, Amar Luhu, Amar Li Abba, Zil Gabayo, deliver chucha. So he said, "Look, I came here via instructions of my father. My father told me to come here in order to get a bracha. I'm here to get a bracha. It's really that simple." So, Amar Lei. So they said, "Okay, we're going to give you a bracha. Ready? Yehi Rava Tetizra Velo Techatzed." So what you should do is that you should plant, but not reap anything. And te'ayo v'lo ta'afok, you should come in and not go out. Te'pok v'lo ta'ayel, you should go out and not come back in. Lech rev be'secha v'leisof ish be'secha, your house should be destroyed. You should have many guests in your house. Leval v'al p'torcha, your table should be disrupted. V'lo te'chzei shasa charata, and you should not see the new year. Okay, now, I translated everything literally over here, and as you can hear, right, certainly I feel it from the response. As you can hear, none of this sounds really that pleasant. And so when you're getting a bracha, usually it's positive and optimistic, and it's good things. And it's not exactly what it sounds like you got. So kiyasa l'gabe avua. So he didn't follow up with any questions. Thank you very much for the bracha. He went back home, but quite frankly, he wasn't happy. And amrele lo mi baye devrucha lo brachinan aval tzuri tzorin. And he said to his father, "Look, I'll be honest with you. Not only did they not give me a bracha, but they said things that really bothered me, understandably. So amrele my amrulach hachi v'hach amrele." So the father said, "No, let me hear what they said." So he said over what they said. Amrele hanachula brachasa ninu. So he says, "You misunderstood them. Everything they said, every phrase was a bracha. And it's just a question of now understanding what they meant. I understood what they meant. So let me explain to you every one of the things that they said. Number one, Tizra v'lo techat said, so tolibanim v'lo yamusu. So as far as bracha number one, that you should plant and lo techat said, you shouldn't lose. So that means that what you should do is you should have sons and they shouldn't die. That's number one. Number two, tayel v'lo tepok, tayel kalasa v'lo limusu. So what should come into your house? What should come into your house? So daughter-in-law should come into your house and they shouldn't die. And your son shouldn't die so that they're going to have to leave. Meaning it's a bracha that your son should live for a very long time and so that your daughter-in-laws are always going to be by you. Number three. Tepuk velo tayal tolib banasa velo yemusu guvrayo velo hajrach lusach lavasech. And the third bracha is that they should go out and not come back. That's talking about your daughters. Meaning that what your daughters should do is they should get married. And because their husbands are going to be living for a really long time, they're not going to come back to you. Okay. Number four. Lech rev beisech v'leisev v'shpetzach d'hai ama u'shpetzach v'hai ama beisa. So, this world is considered a inn and that world is considered your bias. Tichsiv kirvam b'teimo le'olam al tikrei karvam ela kivram. In other words, you should be living a really long life in Olam Haba. And number five, Levava Paturcha, Bibanu Banasa. And as far as your table is concerned, your table should be disrupted. In other words, no, let's put a positive spin on it. Your table should be hopping. You should have a lot of children, a lot of sons, a lot of daughters. And okay, and then there's activity going on at your table all the time. Number six, Velo Techse Shase Charata Delo Tamos, Anasech Velo Tenasev Insisachrita. And when he said you shouldn't see a new year, it means that your next year should be like this year. In other words, you're going to be married to the same woman. Your wife shouldn't die, and then you're going to be forced to marry a new woman, which will be like a new year for you. Okay. So basically, take everything that they said. They meant it all, Latova. Just a question of interpreting it correctly. Next.
Actually, that the reason that they were so obtuse was that they wanted Rav Shimon Bar Yochai to give his son a bracha indirectly.
I like that. Okay, just to, so that the listening audience hears what Ben suggested is that the obscurity of the brachas, the ambiguity of the brachas, is so that the Rashbi himself is also going to have to give a bracha. So in other words, so it's a double bracha. It's a bracha from them, and then with the explanation necessary, it's also a bracha from the Rashbi as well. It's beautiful. Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta ipater mine de Rav. Shimon ben Chalafta excused himself from Rav Amr Lei. So once again, father's instructions to the sons, go and get a bracha from them. So you shouldn't be embarrassed. So he went back to his father. He says, no, I want to hear. What did they say? So he says, it wasn't much of a bracha. I shouldn't be embarrassed. So Damali, Amalei Bircha, Birchasa de Birchin Kushabrichu, Huli Yisrael, Vitana Ba. Really? You think that those are just words? That very same bracha was given by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu repeated that bracha. Dechsiva Achaltem Achoves Avoa, Vehilaltem, Vechule, Pasuk in Yawel. Velo Yevoshu Ami Laolam, Vidatim Ki Bekar Visoa, Ani Hashem. Velo Yevoshu Ami Laolam. Okay, so you go through the Pesukim in Yoel, and you see that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives exactly that bracha. We shouldn't be embarrassed. We shouldn't embarrass others. Okay, it's pshat. The Feirish Pesukim in the Navi. So these are not small things that you received as a bracha. Okay. The Osa Isha Tachshita. Let's do a little bit more for this morning. I don't want to fall behind. Atan Rabbanan Elein Tachshite Nashim. So what are examples of Tachshite Nashim? Okay, we're going to go over various makeup exercises for women. So kochela supokesa sumavira srak al paneha. So the Rashi describes kochela some sort of something goes in the eye. You'll forgive me. I'm not in tune with the exact words, but in other words, something goes in the eye. Pokesis, that's basically the hair in terms of right. Rashi describes it as a part in the hair. Mavira srak al paneha blush. Okay, I know one thing. Okay, v'iga darmi mavir srak al paneha shamata. Now. In another version, it is personal hygiene, but in the private area. So, devasad Rav Chista mikasha ba'anpe kalasa. Rav Chista's wife, she put on makeup in front of her daughter-in-law. Now, Yosef Ravuna Barchina kamei de Rav Chista v'yasef v'kamer lo shano ela yalda avo zekein alam. Now, this allowance to put makeup on in Chol HaMoed, that's for young women. It's not for older women. And basically, okay, this was in terms of discretion. Okay, I'm not in a position to say anything, but it certainly sounds like it could have been a little bit more discreet. But he basically said, "Look, the wife of Rav Chista, she's an older woman. She has a daughter-in-law already, so she shouldn't be putting a makeup on a chalam. Oh, this heter is only for young women. It's not for old women. So Amalei Elokim, afilu imacha, afilu imadi macha, afilu amedas al kivra. What are you talking about? The heter of women putting makeup on? So it's for your mother, for your grandmother." Even for someone who's right by the kever. Okay, just basically, it's for all women. The Amre Inshe Bashisin Kebashis Lekal Tavla Rahata. You know the expression. It happens to be, I don't know the expression, but you know the expression, and the way Rashi explains it's basically, you start playing the music and everyone's going to dance. A woman, even at an advanced age, is going to start dancing once you play the music. So in other words, with so many cliches I'm going to avoid over here. But age is just a number. Okay, I didn't avoid every cliche. Okay, you got all right. I dropped one cliche. But anyway, but the idea is that no, when it comes to women and beauty, so obviously it's really important for women to feel beautiful, and so the heter of wearing makeup applies not just to young women; it applies to all women. Period. And when I say period, meaning we'll stop over here. good. And Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lo Sasa. So we'll start with the Rabbi Yehuda discussion tomorrow. Let's quickly recap our daf today. We started with the Mishnah on Chesamid Beis, the Mishnah talking about not getting married on Chol HaMoed, even though there is a really good reason why you want to do so. It's cheaper. We're making food anyway. We're off of work anyway. There are a lot of good reasons why we want to get married on Chol HaMoed. You can't get married on Chol HaMoed, said the Mishnah. The only thing you can do on Chol HaMoed is Machzor Grushaso. If you happen to divorce a woman, you want to try it again, so you can remarry her. And that you can do on Chol HaMoed. Everything else you cannot do. The Mishnah mentioned a number of other things as well, but let's hold off even in terms of a review, because we're going to be continuing the discussion of the Mishnah tomorrow. Meanwhile, why can't you get married on Chol HaMoed? So the Gemara gave either three or four different reasons why you cannot get married on Chol HaMoed. Reason number one, ein marvin simcha b'simcha. Reason number two, because you have to be focused on simchas regel, and you cannot mix it. You cannot mix into it simchas ishtecha, which again sounds a lot like reason number one. Ula says because it's a tircha yaseira, and Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha says because what you're going to end up doing is you're going to postpone the marriage until Chol HaMoed, and that's a lot of bittul of the mitzvah peruvu. With all that stated, how do you understand the Braisa? The Braisa says that you're allowed to get married on Erev Yantav. So isn't that against all the explanations? The Gemara says, no, it's not. And the Gemara goes on to explain why it's not against any of the explanations. Because really when it comes to the simcha of marriage, day number one is really the Iker Simcha. The Sheva Brachas afterwards, yes, it's simcha, but not it's not the Iker Simcha. So it's not going to share simcha. And in terms of tircha, the Sheva Brachas is not really a tircha yaseira. And as far as delaying, no one's going to delay a marriage so you can get married on Erev Yantav. People are not going to do that. Okay, how do I know in Marvin Simcha B'Simcha? So that was a good part of today's daf. Most of today's daf revolved around that discussion. Shlomo HaMelech, so what he did is that he made two different festivities. Well, he didn't make sukkahs that the Torah made, but he had the opportunity to make a festivity of Binyan Beis HaMikdash, the completion of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. He didn't overlap the two. In other words, the celebration for Binyan Beis HaMikdash came on the 7 days prior to Sukkot. And that is the source of Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. I made a long Gemara, a lot shorter just in the review, but that's the whole purpose of review. The comes out also that the 7 days prior included Yom Kippur. That means they ate on that Yom Kippur. Okay, that's shocking news, but okay, that's the news as the Gemara reports it. You're not allowed to eat in Yom Kippur yet. Normally you're not allowed to. That year they did. As part of the celebration of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. They were worried. Basco came out and says that they were forgiven. Okay. With that in mind, another small halacha that comes out from that discussion, and that is what, even though you said you go goodbye to your Rebbe, if you stayed overnight and you left the next morning, you also have to say goodbye a second time. How do I know that? Shlomo HaMelech. He said goodbye to everybody in Shmini Atzeres, and then the Pasuk in Divrei Yamim says that he said goodbye again the next day. Okay, and then the Gemara reported a couple of stories where the father told the son to go get brachas from these people who are gedolim, and they received brachas. In the first instance, brachas were not clear. He reported exactly what he heard, and his father gave him clarity on all the brachas that he received. Second story, the brachas were clear, just that the recipient of the bracha didn't think it was a big deal. The father said, no, those brachas were really a big deal. And finally, the heter for women to put makeup on Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara at first thought that it's a heter only for young women. The Gemara said, nope, it's a heter for everybody.